Okay, good evening. This is the second meeting of the National Committee of Inclusion, NCOI. My name is Rella Forrest. I'm Chair Pro Tem. So I guess what we should do now is to do a roll call. First, we should since I acted as Chair Pro Tem, I guess I should continue in capacity.
Sure.
That Julie was acting as Secretary Pro Tem. Would anybody volunteer to do that until she gets on, or if she gets on? We can really take some short notes of what's cooking, what we're discussing.
I'm sorry, I'm driving. I'm not able to do it.
Oh, you are driving. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I could take some, but I'm afraid that if I do that, I might also be distracted. And let's see. Hello. Yeah. Okay. Everybody still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard the noise that disappeared. Maybe Ngozi put the thing on mute.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah. No, that's fine. It's not bad. It's just a slight background noise. So basically, my aim tonight was to see if we could have a short, succinct, productive meeting. I apologize to everybody for both personal reasons and political stuff. I was not able to send the stuff early enough and remind people, and maybe that's why Julie is not here now. William Walker is traveling, I believe, to Los Angeles doing a national story and won't be able to be there. Unfortunately, because the committee is so small, maybe at some point we can consider adding individuals. I've heard that idea launched, although we have to think about how that would make sense, how that would work. Did everybody have... Oh, the agenda.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll read it since Ngozi is on the road. On the line... Oh, first let me take a roll call. Let me see. Ambrose?
Here.
Okay. Ngozi?
She's here.
Yes.
Here.
Okay. And Ray. So we have three of the five committee members on. Also with us are the executive director, Dan Coughlin, and Rafael Renteria, who took part in the last meeting we had as a member of the, what's the committee's name again, Rafael, formerly, I forget.
The Anti-Racism Working Group.
Yes, the Anti-Racism Working Group, which is a group which had helped initiate the very discussions on these issues of inclusion and diversity and empowerment. And from the very moment that the interim national board started discussing those issues, they had asked this group to be part of the formal part of this ongoing, play an ongoing role in the discussions. So for the agenda tonight, what I had seen was, number one was going, the last time we had a meeting, we had the vote for chair and secretary, so to see what the result of that was, and then go over adopting the agenda itself, setting the date of the next meeting, like we did the last time, go over the status of what's going on in each of the local COIs, and in relation to that, and goes, maybe it's too bad, and goes is driving because she has shared with us the work that was done and that she spearheaded on the local committee in Houston is quite impressive. And I thought maybe we could look into how specifically to integrate that in the local work. In discussions involving the training specifically, as you may know, the National Board resolution specifically called for a role for the National Office to play. So I'm assuming the Executive Director, even though he's on his way out, could tell us how that could be happening. Number six. By the way, each of the item 1, 2, 3, I put 5 minutes. And the NCOI, the report on local stations, I put 15. The training, I put 15, and a review of the Blue Ribbon Commission proposals, as you, those of you who heard the meeting and for us on the call here, at the end of the last meeting, Rafael and I had been asked to present some material, including the specific suggestion for individual to serve on that commission, and the different ideas and concepts that the commission will be working with. I must say that because of the same reason, partially because of the reason I mentioned, Rafael has done all the work on that at this point. And number seven was I contacted the chair, the interim chair of the Finance Committee, since the chair had resigned, and that's Mark Martin. The interim chair is Mark Roberts. If you may remember, the last time the Finance Committee, during the National Board meeting in New York City, the Finance Committee had met to look at funding for the Committee of Inclusion Activities, including the two position of part-timers, part-time coordinators for diversity, and unfortunately, they were under the impression that that the funding would only come from on-air fundraising, and therefore they had come up with rather narrow budget for it. And upon being apprised of that, they said that in the next meeting they would meet and come up with different recommendations. I have not heard from Mark. I left him a message. I have not heard from him yet. Just in case he cannot, I've contacted the chair of the WBI Finance Committee, who's a member of the National Finance Committee, to see if he could give us an update. And any new business, and I saw that we could adjourn after that. I don't know if people have any... Sorry to make it so long. It's just that since some people are not have the document in front of them, I was just summarizing it. Any suggestions, ideas about the agenda?
Ray, I have a request. This is Rafael.
Yes.
I have to leave in as close to an hour as I can because there is a report on the program council at KPFK that's before the LSB tonight, and I'm a member of the program council, and also because they're choosing listener members at last for board committees. And I have obligations to other people to represent their interests there. So if there's a way we could bump up when we do this the part that I'm involved in, I appreciate it.
Okay. We could switch, if people don't mind, the other items. I mean, obviously we have to adopt the agenda, and maybe we can switch, set the meeting for after Rafael leaves. Or we could do that. That won't take long. And we could put the status of the different discussions. We could put you as number four. How is that?
That's fine. The I don't have in front of me, but that's fine. Whatever you think is best.
Okay.
Why don't you put in number two?
You mean...
why don't you go ahead and announce the results of the election?
Yes.
And then I'll move to adopt the agenda.
And then put in number three.
Put in number three.
Yes. Okay. All right. Unfortunately, for the reason I gave earlier, again, I wasn't able to contact Lenali earlier. I did contact her, and she was not there. So I don't have the results yet. So what I would suggest we do is we continue the way we are now until our next meeting. Now, if people don't mind, maybe if anybody didn't vote, we can give people time to still send the ballots.
Yeah.
Is that acceptable?
Good.
Okay.
Move the adoption of the agenda.
Okay. Any objection to adopting the agenda as is, with Rafael participating as number three, and everything else be moved down? Okay, hearing no objection. And the agenda is adopted as changed. I will call Lenali and inform her that we might be sending additional votes and to notify us. Actually, even if she doesn't hear from me, to just send an email at least telling us what the results are. Okay. So, Rafael, you're on.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I guess I'll go back to where I was a few moments ago and just kind of lay that out again. Basically, the main thrust of this document is that it poses a series of questions to the attorney and legal scholar members of the Blue Ribbon Commission.
But I'm sorry, before you stop, maybe I should say that the item we're covering now is a follow-up on the discussions we had the last time around, specifically looking at the Blue Ribbon Commission.
Right.
And its attributes. Okay.
Ambrose has suggested that we have some kind of orientation for the new members, and so that's what I've endeavored to do, given that the most difficult aspect of orienting anyone around this is the particularities of how affirmative action might apply to the Pacific Foundation as a nonprofit entity. It's a complex question. And let me say what some of the complexities are that are dealt with here and what some of the intersections that I've tried to suggest be addressed are. One aspect of things is that Pacific is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation that's incorporated under California law that is also incorporated, that also deals with the FCC and comes under FCC regulations and under CPB regulations to the extent that it receives funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is a quasi-governmental organization that distributes monies allocated by Congress to nonprofit broadcast entities. And so it's got basically three competing frameworks in which it exists as a legal entity, and all of those intersect in complex ways with the questions of affirmative action law. The rulings and how they might apply to such a body are very hazy. And so a lot of what is done here is an effort to ask the lawyers to probe certain questions about the interconnections between different cases and how or between different laws in the case of the UNRRA law and of Proposition 209 in California, which placed some fairly severe limits on California corporations. how these different cases intersect with the different authorities that Pacifica operates under and the different contingencies that it has as an educational institution, that it has as a broadcast institution, as a nonprofit corporation under California law, and so forth and so on, and with respect to the CPB. So that's the very, very broad stroke of what we're dealing with here. And so, as you can, I imagine that most of you don't have any familiarity with some of these subject areas. And so if you have the document in front of you, the document is entitled Blue Ribbon Commission Lines of Inquiry. If I make reference to something that you don't understand, or you want to look up something for yourself, if you scroll down to page 6, you'll see that I've included a timeline. It's called the Timeline of Affirmative Action Milestones. And basically, it gives a thumbnail description of each of the various cases that have come before the Supreme Court and some of the laws like Proposition 209 and so forth that covers the Bakke case and the Full Love case and Paradise and Croson and Adirond and so on. What it doesn't cover, which is significant, and I've appended at the bottom of these blue pages a brief summary of a case called Metro versus FCC, which does have implications for the case of Pacifica with respect to affirmative action law. And I'm going to try to stay away from, unless you want me to go there, an explanation of what these cases mean. In the first place, I have nothing but an informed layperson's opinion on this, and as I was saying earlier, I did a significant amount of the work in compiling some of the briefs and legal documents and so forth that were used in some of the affirmative action struggles in Pacifica back in 2003, and that's where I gained my familiarity with this stuff. And I've taken one course in the law, but I'm no lawyer, so please don't take anything I say as any kind of legal advice by any stretch of the imagination or my explanations. But they are questions that are not, while they may be complex on their face, they're not anything that wouldn't be obvious to a civil rights lawyer in terms of what's involved. The very first page, page 1, if you turn there, is a simple introduction to the history of what we're trying to do, what Pacifica is, the fact that there was a series of lawsuits that caused the composition of Pacifica's board of directors to be reconfigured. It deals a bit with some of the divisions as neutrally as I could do it with respect to affirmative action in our governance that occurred in 2003. Notes that we were unable, because of some of those contradictions, to get a considered attorney's opinion on the Michigan Law School cases, which are the most recent rulings the Supreme Court has made with respect to affirmative action, and points to the need that the foundation has to explore that based on the mandate of the PNB in creating this commission and based on the mandate of the Pacifica mission. So that's basically what is in page one. And please, anyone at any time, please stop me if you think that there's something that you want to know or there's something that needs to be going in a different direction, and I'll do my best to accommodate whatever it is that you're suggesting or asking.
But this is very, I think that the aim here should be to make people as comfortable as possible and as clear as possible. Clearly, we cannot. This is, by the way, thank you for that. This is 14 pages. Some of them are specific documents. But I guess the one thing about not having a full set of all the members might be that we would have time between now and then to look at those materials, you know, carefully and be familiar with them. So you might not be aware of that, Rafael, but as there's a transition in the leadership of Pacifica, as you know, Dan is leaving, and the board, the last time we met, well, it was on Monday, is looking at various formulas to replacement formulas for the executive director, hopefully with the continued participation of the executive director, a role for him, so that the what has been proposed, and I believe was voted and accepted, was a kind of a light version of what our regular work would be, so that the kind of work that the national office would be doing would definitely be pared down. So that one other thing we have to do between now and then, and maybe some of it tonight, would be to look at what our priorities. I mean, I would believe that one of them is clearly the training. That was the first one that we voted for, and so on. So that this, although this is also should be ready, and we should be clear on that by the time we have the bylaws convention. So that is the reason why this is fairly urgent also. But if we could, you know, at the end of this segment, feel that we're much clearer as to what is at stake and better inform us to how to read it.
Okay, well, I guess what I'll try to do then is, and let me see if this is what you're talking about, Ray. I guess what I'll try to do is give you a sense of what some of these questions mean. Is that what you're looking for? Because, I mean, these are questions that are going to be going to the potential members of the commission that will give, especially the legal scholars and attorneys, a sense of what we're after. And so, you know, I know that if you don't understand what's being said, you're kind of buying a pig in a poke if you approve this document. So is that along the lines of what you want me to try to achieve here?
Yeah, within the time we are allocated for that.
Okay.
I don't know how much time. You say you have an hour? I mean, we are allocated 20 minutes for that.
Okay, well, look, I mean, no, I don't need all that time. Basically, you know, I can give you a thumbnail sketch of what these legal questions mean in a fairly brief period. So let's see how quick we can get it done.
Any objection to that? So go ahead.
Okay, there are, basically, the legal questions break down into sort of, I guess, you could say, three major categories. One is how does California law impact, maybe four major categories. How does California law, vis-a-vis affirmative action, impact what we can do because we're a nonprofit corporation incorporated in the state of California? Secondly, how does previous case law, including perhaps especially Metro versus FCC and the Adirond case, impact Pacifica? And the third question would be, how does the decisions of the Supreme Court, how do the decisions of the Supreme Court in the Michigan Law School and undergraduate cases, which are the most recent cases, impact us? Because they change the terrain of what you can do in terms of affirmative action fairly dramatically. The fourth question would be that's not really articulated here, and is what, in any depth in any case, is what does it mean that we are a nonprofit.
What did somebody get on?
That was me changing to the landline.
Okay.
Thanks.
Nonprofit broadcaster operating under the regulations of the Corporation of Public Broadcasting for the purposes of funding. So those are the four broad areas of the law as they intersect with what we're trying to do. So question number one on page number two pertains to California Proposition 209, which broadly banned a lot of different forms of affirmative action. There's a contradiction there in that Pacifica operates not only under California law, but under the rules that pertain to the FCC, right? And the FCC has certain initiatives that they have undertaken with respect to affirmative action that were dealt with in the Metro versus FCC case. That, and the Metro versus FCC case said in no uncertain terms that diversity in broadcasting is tied to who owns the broadcasting outlet, and that diversity in broadcasting and diversity in who owns is tied to diversity in programming, and the diversity in programming is tied to an important and serious governmental interest in making sure that different viewpoints are available to the public. So that whereas in the later cases, like in the Michigan cases, they described diversity in education as a compelling government interest, they described diversity in broadcasting as an important and serious government interest. And so there's contradictions on the face of it between what how this would apply in Pacifica's case. What does it mean for a nonprofit entity chartered in California that also is a nonprofit broadcast entity that comes under the FCC, that etc. There's also a case that is dealt with in the second paragraph under question one that's usually just loosely referred to as the Boy Scout case, in which the Boy Scouts, who are incorporated in California and who are a nonprofit organization that doesn't do business, is not considered a business establishment under the California law called UNRRA or the UNRRA Civil Rights Act, they were allowed to discriminate because they did not do business. And so there's a question that we're posing to the lawyers here about whether Pacifica is considered doing business. Are its facilities, like the Boy Scouts, open to all without pay and without discrimination and what have you? And so there's another question as to whether or not the UNRRA Act applies based on whether or not we're engaged in business in California. That is question number one. Secondly, the second question that is posed pertains to the question of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the fact that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting requires a certain demographic on its boards, on the boards of nonprofit corporations, broadcast entities, in order for those nonprofit broadcast entities to qualify for certain funding from the CPB. To wit, the national board has to be 50% people of color, I believe, or at a local station level, the local board would have 50% people of color, and I believe the staff would also, for the station to qualify as a minority organization and thus get certain boosts or bonuses in funding. So the question is, in the case of Pacifica, if we want to safeguard that CPB funding, how can we guarantee our right to that funding as a minority organization, which is how we're designated now, if we can't control the composition of our boards? And so that's what that legal question applies to on number two. And of course, there's the obvious question of how does that intersect with the state laws that might impact us as a California corporation. Is this fairly clear so far?
Well, for me, personally, this way, I would have preferred if we really had time to look at the material before. I'm sure that some people are having a little bit of trouble, interacting in the proper way. But do people feel that this is useful? Ambrose?
I'd love to have the document in front of me.
Well, you have them on your computer. Even if you had it, I'm assuming it would still be more useful if you had a chance to look at it.
Yeah.
But
I've got to leave, but I just want to ask him one question.
Are you crafting language for the Blue Ribbon Committee that asks the question, how all of these apply, one, to Pacifica, and how all of these apply to the individual stations, since they are properties of Pacifica? Does it apply just to Pacifica?
Well, you know, I mean, what happens, there's three areas in which the commission was established, and three things we're supposed to look into. One is affirmative action in governance, the other was affirmative action in staffing, and the third in programming. The bylaws apply to all of the stations, and the question is what can be done, Ambrose, in the bylaws with respect especially to the electoral processes by which we elect our local station delegates and thus then the Pacifica National Board. And so there wouldn't be a separate set of criteria for the various stations because all of them come under California law because the foundation is under California
law.
That's my understanding.
But do the laws apply to Pacifica, or do they apply to Pacifica and each station? That's the question.
I see what you're saying. No, I haven't posed that question.
Yeah, I think that's one of the major questions we have to pose to the Blue Ribbon Commission.
Okay.
And how so?
Yeah.
Thanks, Ray.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ray. It, Ambrose? Now, what just happened there is that we no longer have... No, we do have quorum.
Well, if you don't say you don't have one, you...
I'm sorry?
As long as you don't say it, you still have one.
No, actually, the rules are is that as long as we have the quorum that we had originally, so we do have quorum. But in terms of doing work that's endorsed and supported by the majority, I don't mind continuing, but Julie's not here. Ngozi?
Yes.
I feel that we shouldn't have any votes that would engage anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And at most, we should make recommendations. Mrs. Raphael is there, and Dan is here, so I think we should use the time.
Ray, one thing is I do have to leave also in just a few minutes, so if there's any questions around the transition issues, we should probably deal with them early.
Yes, no, absolutely. So actually, let me see. We had you... right after Raphael, so we can do it right after that also.
Well, Ray,
we can raise it completely. I'm sorry?
Perhaps it makes more sense to give people a chance to review this.
No, I agree. I was going to say, that's why I was asking before Ambrose left, I asked the people if it's useful. For example, I'm more familiar, I'm here, I was there to the original discussions. Second, So I'm familiar with the issues, but I was just trying to see what it felt like to just be hearing the discussion without the material, and maybe Ngozi can tell us.
I'm sorry, tell you what?
You know, whether you feel it's useful to continue or should we just postpone these discussions until we actually have time to look at the material, because this is 14 pages.
Yes, I'm looking now to see if, in fact, I've received it.
Yeah, I sent it.
It's a labeled room. Blue Ribbon, yes, I do have it.
Yes.
I found it to be useful, at least in understanding or beginning to understand some of the issues, but I would rather really get involved with it after I've looked at the document.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, Raphael, I really appreciate this.
Will
you be able to join? Maybe we can set the next meeting so Raphael can determine if he could be a part of it?
Yeah. So what we could do, we could set the meeting... date and at least maybe pick two dates, just since there are other folks, there are three people who are on now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if we only pick one, we're pretty much setting ourselves for disappointment.
Okay.
So you have access to something now?
Yes.
I mean, to your calendar?
Yes.
Let me see. So what are we talking about? Beginning of June?
That would be great.
Okay. How about Thursday the 2nd?
I have a meeting that night.
The first, you know what I should do very quickly while you're looking at your stuff is to look at our master calendar.
Okay.
because otherwise if we pick something that other people are using mm-hmm. already, it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
If the time is taken already. Then we'll be right with you.
Okay.
Which days are good for you, Ngozi, during that week?
The first week, it looks pretty open from here.
Okay. So I'm looking at it here, there's nothing at all until the first day is June 13.
Okay.
That's taken. So...
So June 9th, well, no. The first for you, Raphael?
My birthday, Ngozi.
Well, congratulations.
So we want to stick to Thursday?
That we could. That would be okay. Then that would take us to the 9th.
That would take us to the 9th, unless we want to do a little bit earlier than that. What do you say?
Given that the PNB will be meeting on the 18th,
yes,
it would be nice if we could meet. But in order to have Raphael, if we stick with Thursdays, we're stuck with the 9th.
Okay, no, that's fine. So I would say I just wanted to speak two dates just in case.
Okay.
Because at this point we know there's no interference from other committees meeting so far.
Okay.
And the three of us at least, I don't know if Dan can join us, can make it. So we just have to hope that the other three people can.
Mm-hmm.
So let's pick the 9th then.
Okay.
Tentatively, and I'll send an email and ask people if they have any other dates that day. Because you're right, after that, the 16th will be changing gear already for the PNB meeting.
Uh-huh. So, but I was agreeing that we should pick an alternative date. So should we pick another one also?
Well, obviously, that wouldn't be a Thursday.
No.
So it could be, at this point, the committee of, the coordinating committee is considering two dates, as far as I know. And they are the 6th and the 8th. And we haven't decided yet, so they're considering that Thursday. And Raphael, you said that June 2nd is not good for you?
No, June 2nd I have a Pacific-related meeting, and June 1st is my birthday.
Yeah, you did say that.
Yeah. What if we try that Tuesday?
The 7th?
Yes.
That's fine with me?
Raphael?
That's fine.
Okay
great.
And we'll wait to see which one can be confirmed.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, so thank you all, and I'll let you go.
All right, thanks so much.
So you're leaving, Raphael?
Yeah, he's gone.
Okay, thank you. So then you're on.
Okay, Ray. I just got a few minutes. What are some of the issues of main concern?
Well, the quite a few of the... the execution of the proposals that were done by the PNB were to be done assisted, initiated by or with the assistance of the national office. So the meeting we had last Monday, this week, stated that, in that transition period that we're looking at, that the issues that we would be concerned with, at least trying to implement, would be the training. And just in case we can do more, you also stated, I'm not quoting it specifically, but it stated that other, and if possible, or something like that, other NCOI-related issues. But at the minimum, the training. So how do you see that happening? Now, the problem we have, and I know it's connected to financing, and as I just said earlier, when the Finance Committee met, I don't know if you know what was decided then? Because when they met the first time, they actually had a very truncated result because they had assumed that the only funding source for NCOI was on-air funding. So when they saw the actual language that talked about grants and many other form of funding, then they accepted to take a second look at it. I know in the first meeting, they didn't get to it, and I don't know actually if... Do you know if they had met?
No.
So you wouldn't know?
No.
Okay. So assuming the funding, some reasonable funding was available, do you see how, since you, the person who actually made the proposal for transition that the board took a look at, how do you see that taking place?
I think certainly some of those issues and questions and items that are urgent items can certainly be part of the transition, and one of those items being training. If there was a prioritization of other items that needed funding during this period, we could definitely look at them. What are some of the other urgent priorities you think we ought to be emphasizing in the period ahead?
Well, one of them, as I said, both in terms of the way the National Board has set it up and had voted for it and the way they looked at it recent Monday, they have prioritized training on the basis that, if I remember, the thinking in general was that the training would be the what would have impact, you know, the fastest. So hopefully as people have a broader perspective as to what we're dealing with, the very participation that they have with that process, the importance they would give it to it would change. The other one was the Blue Ribbon Commission, if only because this is the commission that would guide us. If proposals are made for changing the bylaws, this is the commission that would look at the legal issues and would advise us, you know, judiciously and with competence as to how to proceed and what kind of proposals would make sense. So that's why the second one. And another one, clearly, so there are a few things. That I would say the third one also would be, and again, it's connected to financing, to actually have individuals who would be coordinators and would start to set up the whole system, get it moving. But the first item clearly is training.
Well, that's what we're planning on doing. I mean, we're trying to set up some training right now. Training's ongoing. And that's part of the plan for the next 100-day transition period. So that's an important component.
Okay. So do you see I know that specifically training, the proposal that the National Board has endorsed recently was to amend the original proposal. And actually give a role to the NCD's committee in terms of setting up, which we have not done, and that's too bad, we're running behind. That's one of the importance of that, is that the original proposal was that the national office, the executive director, and the local committees would look at different training modalities and organizations and individuals locally to do the training. With the common point meaning being that the training would be based on notion of empowerment, not just on psychological factors, but understanding of that there were political dynamics and of power play and so on. And what we voted for recently, last month, was to give a role to this committee in setting up general standards that the executive director and, or in this case, the transition team and the local committees would follow, which would mean that we would be speaking with a common language and that the training would indeed be a unifying experience.
Yeah, that sounds fine. It is a lot of the training is unifying and that that is relatively ongoing, in the sense that it follows state and federal law and Pacifica policy in that regard. But certainly overall, I think it would be great if we wanted to partner up a little bit on some of these trainings, the COI, both local, national, local stations, and get into this jointly. I think that would be a great idea. Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah, I gather that... as long as we're waiting for the National Board to make final decisions on, we're thinking again on the 23rd, because we didn't finalize the approval of the process of transition yet. So I guess until you actually had that document in front of you and that that the board has decided how to move forward, you can actually do move forward on that. I don't know if you have got, I know you have a lot on your plate. Have you got any chance to see how that might be implemented, or what role you would play in, because unlike many of the other individuals that who might replace you, even if they're chosen from that transition team that would include inside people, you were around when some of these discussions took place.
Are you talking about some of the programming initiatives?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to be part of the budget discussion. That's going to be initiated in June at the Berkeley board meeting, and then obviously wrapped up in September at the board meeting in September. So a lot of those discussions about implementation or operationalization of some of those COI initiatives and board initiatives has to be discussed within that framework. That will be the plan. That'll be the prioritization that process will be set through the budgetary process for FY06, which starts really just in around the corner, October 1st.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, much of that debate is going to happen in the next 3 to 6 weeks in the run-up to the June board meeting, and then obviously afterwards, and that's going to be the key issue, along with other items, obviously. But that I think, is the most important thing in the near future. It's going to be that board, it's going to be that budget discussion.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's key.
But in the meantime, we can move ahead with so those training components and
yes,
and other components that may be relatively easy to initiate, relatively low cost. We can definitely do those. We can definitely continue to do programming initiatives or other things. Those can happen.
Yeah. Actually, though, since this committee was charged with setting up the standards for the training, so maybe we should slightly prioritize that over the blue ribbon at this point, and maybe include some discussion and maybe a proposal at the next committee meeting, so we could be actually, you know what I'm saying, so that when the vote is taken, the finance and so that the local committees can actually start doing the looking around.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Dan, who specifically is involved in your office with organizing or beginning to plan the specifics of the training that we're talking about?
Bill Osegueda.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on vacation right now, but he'll be back next week. But he's been doing some of the training. I actually did some of the training. We've actually had ongoing training, regardless, just as part of our normal HR training and that we do for senior managers.
I'm not quite familiar with it. Can you tell us, if, you know, quickly what kind of training it is, or some of what details?
For instance, non-discrimination and anti-harassment training.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important for us, and so we do that. And then, in fact, we're required by law to do this kind of training. So we do that relatively routinely.
And, Ray, are you familiar with the law that Dan is referring to?
Yeah, okay. Somewhat, yes. Yes.
Okay. Dan, would you be able to allow us to see that law that you are working within?
Yeah, I'll send you our discrimination and anti-harassment policy. I already sent it to the board, but I'll resend it.
Oh, okay. If you wouldn't mind, that would help a lot.
No, with pleasure.
Thank you.
Yes.
Bye, Saul.
And I guess what this committee is trying to do is to bring that not just to the staff, but to bring it to the whole structure,
right,
of Pacifica, and also have the training on, and then because as I said earlier, I believe that as people's notion of what this business is broadened, then we can even move forward, you know, more lighted, you know, more forcefully. So I'm kind of finished with that. I don't know if you have anything else you want to tell us, Dan.
No, that's it.
Gozi has any questions or statements?
No, I think we can follow up from the bits that we have here.
Yeah.
Okay. Gozi, what's your email address again?
It's NGOZI.
We're being streamed, by the way.
Okay.
Is that all right?
That's okay.
Okay.
R-E-N-E-E.
Yeah.
At sbcglobal.net.
Okay, I'm sending it to you right now.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
All right, Ray, thanks a lot.
Thank you, brother.
Are you at Hotmail or Yahoo?
I'm at SBC Global.
No, but Ray, are you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm at Yahoo.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
Thank you. So it's just us now.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, maybe what we need to do is just really look at all the policies that are impacting the formulation of this training. Look at the models that are already in place.
Exactly.
Talk with the key players in each of the stations.
Yes.
And then just kind of see what kind of common threads already exist. That would help make it real simple, perhaps. And then move from there.
And exactly. Maybe as long as they follow the criteria that the resolution had. You know, they look at dynamics of power and so on also.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And as you said, and also the legal requirements.
Yes, because he mentioned two aspects to that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So what we had left here was, let me see, next meeting, the status. Actually, what I was going to go, and maybe we should just call it quits, and we can, I was really impressed with the work you've done, and I was, unfortunately in New York, we had I don't know how that happened. I'm seriously busy. I had somebody at the station to make sure that I had recorded a cart to make an announcement that would, you know, give people 3 weeks to fill up the form to be members of the local committee, COI committee, and so on. And after 2 weeks, there was a reception for the general manager was leaving, and I was there, and the individual was supposed to do it. Apparently, he did not listen to it as he was taping it. Told me, by the way, I couldn't find the DVD, and can you tell me the date again? So, because I filed it, and I want to know where I put it. And I said, well, you actually, doesn't make sense to do that, because we had given people 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So if nobody heard it, then so unfortunately we have not done anything officially. Mm-hmm. So now tomorrow I'm going to the station to tape the card again, and then with the committee we'll set up a date that's about 3 weeks after that. So I don't know if you've done anything yourself in between.
Well. Just really a lot of collaborating with the different committees. We are getting some input, some specific input from the committees with respect to areas that they identified upon looking at the initial draft of the report to see where they can see roads into beginning to resolve some of the gaps in inclusion that we have at the station. But one of the biggest things that kind of has come up in the midst of it all is that we've had a major programming change. So we are, you know, in dialogue with them and waiting for some of the demographic statistics on some of the changes with the programming. But in addition to that, we unfortunately have been having some code of conduct issues, and a couple of the active members on the COI have been asked to participate in some investigative kind of processes to give some feedback to the board. So we've been working in that capacity quite a bit. And also still moving forward with looking at ways to move our meetings out to the community to try to not only get into the community but bridge different parts of the community, hopefully through interaction with our committee to help spread the word about the station. But that's pretty much real busy, but it seems like nothing real tangible. But definitely trying to help bridge some of the communication gaps and like that. So that's what we've really been working on. Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
One second.
Mm-hmm.
Yolo, 1 second. So it looks like at this point, particularly since a lot of the national efforts are connected to a strong role with the national office, it looks like then the national committees are going to have to pick up the slack, and that's where a lot of the work will be going on, apparently, for the, you know, immediate future, until we have a new executive director or a new system in place that can do this smoothly, unless we're lucky enough to be able to do that together, you know, because for the system to work properly, one of the main aspects is to have coordinators who actually I'm working on it and work together with the local committees. You know, look at the administrative aspect of it and the outreach and everything else.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
So I don't know if you have anything else. Otherwise,
The only thing that I have, and in order to follow up with the whole thing about the training, perhaps, would be if there really is one representative from each local station on the NCOI. So perhaps each of us needs to identify what we were talking about with respect to any policies that exist in the station. We know we have the overriding policy that's coming out of national. But to look at if any policies and what kind of activities are going on, and also the lead person who can be communicated with respect to the anti-racism training at each locale. And perhaps if we can all get that kind of contact information and the general parameters from each station, we can start looking at that and see how to move forward from there.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, as a committee, we are, the national committee is, well, all the committees actually, and not just national committee, the work is supposed to be done not on internet, but right there. I mean, all the discussions and decision making.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, however, so the work can be done in between. So, what I thought I would do is maybe like tomorrow send an email with a summary of what happened and maybe propose a new agenda based on what we talk about immediately, so that people can have feedback.
Yes.
And like, for example, one thing that came out of what we talked about now was the need for us to kind of give up our role in setting up the standards for the training that's going to be done. Because if we don't do it, the training cannot take place.
Right.
We'll be in violation of our own regulation, you know,
right.
Our own motion that we pass.
And so
but therefore, we should prioritize that.
So do you think it would be in order from this beginning conversation to in that email that summarizes this meeting, ask each representative from each station to identify the key contact person in their station area who could help to give us some information about these kinds of issues? So that,
exactly.
And maybe even those individuals could have some dialogue to help us to identify what those primary guiding factors would be for the training.
Yes. No, I agree.
Okay.
Absolutely. Actually, in New York, we as far as I know, some of the people who've been looking into that are actually even had some organizations, plural,
mm-hmm.
In mind that pretty much would fit the you know the way we the definition that we've set the parameters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
same is here. Same true is here. We've identified some through the Anti-Racism and Diversity Committee. Some trainings have been identified and actually already have been offered to staff. And next with the LSB in mind. But nonetheless, we realize that we expect stations to go ahead and move forward while we do this. So the people who are involved with organizing of that, those trainings here in KPFT, for instance, could be involved in that discussion because they understand what's involved in those trainings and all of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question. Do you see perceptible, I mean, I know it's a difficult question, because married couples, or not married couples, couples, or people who want to improve relation with each other, go to counseling, and it can be rough, because you have to be open, you have to want to make it work, and I guess you need a bit of luck, too, and sometimes you have to keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see, are you in a position to say that any of the, first, as you said there's been something, have you seen any change in the direction of people being more willing to keep the dialogue open and
well,
in perspective?
Actually, we have not had any training yet. However, the training providers who have been identified actually provided training to the lab, the interim board that was here at KPFT. And people who participated in that training speak very highly of it and indicate that they did experience a change not only within their own perception and behavior, but also collectively.
Yeah.
So they feel pretty confident that, again, that training would be very beneficial to us. And I think there are two or three different types of training that were involved in that process. So, yeah, while we haven't had it now, there seems to be a good indication that it would be helpful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're right. And actually, you know, we've done a lot of talk about the different levels of training, because the training that was implemented previously actually was more of what would be considered psychoeducational training.
Yes.
And some individuals are more interested in the more therapeutic type of training and that kind of thing. So, you know, I think it's really important that we do come up with these national parameters, because, of course, we want to stimulate an environment that's going to be supportive, at the same time not necessarily going down roads that might be too involved for the type of collective training that we're doing. But
what do you mean by involved?
Well, you know, a couple of people at the meetings with the ARDC talked about how they really want to get into the intrapsychic issues and all of that, you know. And, of course, trainers are real aware of what lines they want to cross and what lines they don't want to cross.
Yes.
So I do think that the articulation of that is going to be really important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not sure what my position is on that. I'm assuming that, looking at the body, Politica Pacifica, it's clear that therapeutic is a very important word. However, in terms of our mandate, it has to include the political component.
Yeah.
Meaning that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you support a system that actually results in the exploitation of, let's say, if you look at oppression against women, if you look at support, if as a man, you support a system that destroys the environment so that your own grandchildren will suffocate or have an incredible amount of disabilities and health problem, or if you're supporting a system of discrimination that effectively result in the oppression of women and therefore limit the possibilities or worse for your spouse, your siblings, children, grandchildren, and so on. This is clearly, there clearly seems to be that psychological dimension there.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the main factors is that you are benefiting from it.
Exactly.
And that's one of the factors that's blinding you and making you, I'm assuming, unwilling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to have the course right now tonight. But anyway, that is the nature of the mandate. Also, as I said, the idea was to have it so that we spoke a similar language, or when we use common language, that we actually meant the same thing, rather than having a series of hodgepodge training where, you know, somebody is if you look at good psychology, somebody is a Freudian and you're Freudian, and somebody is a behaviorist, and they are like the Tower of Babel. So on that note, I don't know if you're comfortable stopping now.
Okay, I think that would be good.
Okay.
And we can look forward to confirming the next meeting, which will be in about a week and a half?
Yes, we picked two dates at the beginning of June.
Okay.
So hopefully everybody else can fit in there. That was June, Tuesday the 7th or Thursday the 9th.
Okay.
And as I said, I'll send the stuff early enough so that we can start looking at the material and make decisions as to what the agenda should include.
Sounds good. And I'll review this document, too.
Yes.
Right.
And maybe I can talk to you, separately about how we could use the information you sent to us about the work you've done on the local NCRI in Houston.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, then. Enjoy the evening.
You do the same.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, John. Thanks very much.